Careful, Triss. One abnegation, five candor, two erudite. Those are my initiates. I'm told that candor and dauntless have a fairly high mutual transfer rate. We usually lose as many to them as we gain. I consider it my job to get these eight initiates through at least the first round of cuts. Last year, when Eric and Max insisted on the cuts, I fought them as hard as I dared. But it seems the cuts are here to stay, all for the sake of the dauntless Max and Eric want to create, a faction of mindless brutality. But I intend to leave Dauntless as soon as I find out what Max and Janine are up to, and if that's in the middle of initiation, so much the better. Once all the Dauntless-borns, including Uriah, Lynn, and Marlene, are with us, I start down the tunnel, beckoning them to follow with one hand. We walk down the dark hallway toward the pit doors.
"This is where we divide," Lauren says, when she reaches the doors. "The Dauntless-born initiates are with me. I assume you don't need a tour of the place."
She smiles, and the Dauntless-borns follow her down the hallway that bypasses the pit, leading them right into the cafeteria. I watch them leave, and once they've disappeared, I straighten up. I learned last year that in order for them to take me seriously from the beginning, I have to be hard on them from the beginning. I don't have Amar's natural charm, which won people's loyalty with just a smile or a joke, so I have to compensate in other ways. "Most of the time I work in the control room, but for the next few weeks I'm your instructor," I say. "My name is Four." One of the candor girls, tall with dark skin and an energetic voice, speaks up.
"Four? Like the number?"
I sense the beginnings of an uprising. People who don't know what my name means often like to laugh at it, and I don't like to be laughed at, especially not by a group of initiates fresh from choosing, who have no idea what they're in for.
"Yes," I say testily. "Is there a problem?"
"No,"
the girl says.
"Good. We're about to go into the pit, which you will someday learn to love.
The candor girl interrupts again.
"The pit? Clever name."
I feel a swell of irritation, and I move toward her without really deciding to. I can't have someone cracking jokes about everything I say, especially not at the beginning of initiation, when everyone's attitudes are so malleable. I have to show them all that I'm not someone to be messed with, and I have to do it now. I lean in close to her face and stare at her for a few seconds, until I see her smile falter.
"What's your name?" I say, keeping my voice quiet.
"Christina,"
she says.
"Well, Christina, if I wanted to put up with candor smart mouths, I would have joined their faction," I say. "The first lesson you will learn from me is to keep your mouth shut. Got that?"
She nods. I turn away, my heart throbbing in my ears. I think that did it, but I can't be sure, not until initiation really begins. I push through the double doors that open up to the pit, and for a moment, I see it like it's for the first time, the impossibly huge space, bustling with life and energy, the pulse of water in the chasm, crashing against the rocks, the echoes of conversation everywhere. Most of the time I avoid it because it's so busy, but today I love it. I can't help it.
"If you follow me," I say, "I'll show you the chasm."
The abnegation transfer sits at my table. For a moment, I wonder if she knows who I am, or if she's somehow magnetized to me by an invisible force of stiff that I can't help but give off. But she doesn't look at me like she knows me, and she doesn't know what a hamburger is.
"You've never had a hamburger before?"
Christina says, incredulous. The candor are like that, amazed that not everyone lives the way they do. It's one of the reasons I don't like them. It's like the rest of the world doesn't exist to them. But for abnegation, the rest of the world is all that exists, and it is full of need.
No, Triss says. For someone so small, she has a low voice. It always sounds serious, no matter what she says.
Is that what it's called?
Stiffs eat plain food, I say, trying out the slang. It feels unnatural, applied to Triss. I feel like I owe her the courtesies I would owe any woman in my former faction. Deferential, averted eyes, and polite conversation. I have to push myself to remember that I'm not in abnegation anymore, and neither is she.
Why?
Christina says.
Extravagance is considered self-indulgent and unnecessary.
She says it like she's reciting it from memory. Maybe she is.
No wonder you left.
Yeah. Triss rolls her eyes, which surprises me.
It was just because of the food.
I try not to smile. I'm not sure it works. Then Eric walks in, and everything goes quiet. Eric's appointment to Dauntless Leader was met with confusion, and in some cases, anger. There had never been a leader so young before, and plenty of people spoke out against the decision, voiced concerns about his youth and his erudite background. Max made sure to silence those concerns. And so did Eric. Someone would be outspoken one day, and silent, frightened the next, almost like he had threatened them. Knowing Eric, he probably did, with soft-spoken words that twisted together into malice, clever and calculated as always.
Who's that?
Christina says. His name is Eric, I say. He's a dauntless leader.
Seriously? But he's so young.
I set my jaw. Age doesn't matter here. Connections to Janine Matthews do. He comes toward us and drops into the seat next to me. I stare at my food.
Well, aren't you going to introduce me?
He says lightly, like we're friends. This is Triss and Christina, I say.
Ooh, a stiff, says Eric, smirking.
I worry for a moment that he's about to tell her where I came from, and I curl my hand around my knee, clenching so I don't lash out and smack him. But all he says is,
"We'll see how long you last."
I still want to smack him, or remind him that the last transfer we had from abnegation, who was sitting right next to him, managed to knock out one of his teeth, so who knows what this next one will do. But with these new practices in place, fighting until an opponent can't stand, cuts after just a week of combat training. He's right. It's unlikely that she'll last very long, small as she is. I don't like it, but there it is.
What have you been doing lately for?
Eric says. I feel a prickle of fear, worried for a moment that he knows that I'm spying on him and Max. I shrug.
Nothing, really.
Max tells me he keeps trying to meet with you and you don't show up,
Eric says.
He requested that I find out what's going on with you.
I find it easy to discard Max's messages, like they're bits of garbage blown toward me by the wind. The backlash from Eric's appointment as Dauntless Leader may not bother Eric anymore, but it still bothers Max, who has never liked his protege as much as he was supposed to. He liked me, though I'm not sure why, since I hole up alone while the other Dauntless pull together.
Tell him I'm satisfied with the position I currently hold, I say.
So he wants to give you a job?
There's that suspicious probing again, oozing from his mouth like pus from a new piercing.
So it would seem.
And you aren't interested?
I haven't been interested for 2 years.
Well, let's hope he gets the point, then.
He hits my shoulder, like he means it to be casual, but the force of it almost pushes me into the table. I glare at him as he walks away. I don't like to be pushed around, especially not by scrawny, erudite lovers.
Are you two friends?
Triss asks. We were in the same initiate class. I decide to make a preemptive strike, to poison them against Eric before he poisons them against me. He transferred from erudite. Christina raises her eyebrows,
But Triss disregards the word erudite, disregards the suspicion that ought to be written into her very skin after a lifetime in abnegation, and says,
"Were you a transfer too?"
"I thought I would only have trouble with the candor asking too many questions," I say. "Now I've got stiffs too." As it was with Christina before, my sharpness is intended to slam doors before they open too much. But Triss's mouth twists like she tastes something sour, and she says,
"It must be because you're so approachable. You know, like a bed of nails."
Her face flushes as I stare at her, but she doesn't look away. Something about her seems familiar to me, though I swear I would remember if I had ever met such a sharp abnegation girl, even for just a second. "Careful, Triss," I say. Careful what you say to me is what I mean. Careful what you say to anyone in this faction that values all the wrong things, that doesn't understand that when you come from abnegation, standing up for yourself, even in small moments, is the height of bravery. As I say her name, I realize how I know her. She's Andrew Pryor's daughter. Beatrice. Triss.